Welcome to episode one of Gotham Currents. My name is Bill Beer, and joining me tonight, John Coos.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how's it going?
Going great.
That's good. That's good. If you had a chance to check out the previous announcement we had on the podcast feed, the Batpod is spinning off a program that we're starting right here. It's called Gotham Currents, and we're going to be talking new release issues. As of right now, it's just Batman. In the future, we may be adding other titles. But I talked about, and I mentioned this earlier to John, I talked about issues of Batman and Detective. I think it was 70 some issues in a row. And I sort of missed that. I sort of missed talking about the new issues, because I would read the new issues and it's like, oh, I can't wait to talk about it. In the last, I don't know how many issues it's been at least 10 or 15. I haven't really talked about it. And it's like, oh, I miss talking about, you know, reading it and being able to talk about it. So we have this platform now that we'll be able to do that. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And I too have recently, at least for me, I've gotten back into current issues. It's been, I was buying them hard copies for a while of certain comics, and then I made the plunge into Ultra. So I'm, you know, what is that? Is it a week later or is it a month later? I'm not sure.
It's a month later.
A month later. So, I mean, I couldn't wait like 5 months to get JSA number three, but I can wait a month or something, you know. So for what it's worth, I mean, I'm currently reading Titans and Nightwing, which are by Tom Taylor, and the JSA mini and the offshoots of the minis. But you've gotten me back into Batman. It's been a while since I have read Batman ongoings, but I've caught up a bit here in preparation for this, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, yes, I'm excited. We're jumping right in the middle of Chip Zdarsky's storyline, and we actually covered the first part of that. Me and Sean Ross started to cover that. So we're going to jump right in. It's right after Joker Year One. So we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll jump right into Batman 145.
The Batpod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
At To the Batpoles podcast, we look at the many sides of our favorite hero, Batman. For example, Encyclopedia Batman.
It's the basic formula for escaping from the Siamese human knot. I just recalled it.
Civic Responsibility Batman.
Only a criminal would disguise himself as a licensed bonded guard, yet callously park in front of a fire hydrant.
Impish Humor Batman.
Look at him, Robin. That crooked bird's going crazy.
And more. See if you can identify other sides of the Caped Crusader, and then join us at To the Batpoles podcast, available wherever podcasts are found or at tothebatpoles.libsyn.com. Batman has many sides, but can we trust him to save the day?
You can be sure if it's Batman.
Our first book tonight is Batman 145, Dark Prisons, Part 1. Your writer, Chip Zdarsky. Artist, Jorge Jimenez. Colorist, Tamu Mori. Letterer, Clayton Cowles. Editors, Ben Abernathy and Katie Kubert. So we get a cover here, and we have Batman, a bloodied Batman, with like almost like a hush, you know, with bandages wrapped around his head, and looks like he's fighting Zurnon, the failsafe body. So what did you think of this cover?
I like it. I like it. I'm pretty happy with the art in this book generally, and this cover's pretty cool, actually. Got a lot of perspective. Looks like he's, you know, ready to defend himself or whatever, because we know who that is and how powerful that person is. And even, there's a little bit of movement down on the bottom with the, I guess you'd call that a claw or whatever those are.
Yeah, whatever those things are.
It's got bloodied hands. He's already, you know, messed up a bit. He's got a bloody bandages, and he's got his right hand. His severed right hand is, well, I guess it's not severed. It's a mechanical right hand from what happened.
Well, you can actually see, you know, that it's mechanical here.
Right, which is different than the previous issues, which was a glove.
I think there was only one instance where it was even mentioned that, you know, he had this new hand or whatever. But, you know, that might be one of those things in the future that they just forget about, you know. But I don't know. I don't know.
But I do remember when I was getting up to speed and I was reading Gotham War, that I pointed out to you, then you caught it too, that it might have been in one of the tie-ins. I can't remember, but the artist didn't even show a severed hand. It was a regular hand. So somebody didn't get the memo on that.
Yeah, missed that, or the editor missed it, or that right. sort of thing.
But it's a nice cover.
I enjoy this cover. It looks like he's ready for some action. Previous issues he hasn't fared too well, but these also could be, when we get into this book, these also could be these little robots too, and not actual failsafe. So it's part of the story.
Maybe you're right. It's hard to see. Probably, but it's cool.
Yeah. So in this issue, Bruce Wayne calls Joker a liar as he finishes retelling the Joker Year One story that ended last issue. Joker tells Bruce that he has known about Zur-En-Ah this whole time. Zur, inhabiting the body of Failsafe, takes out some thugs and tells them, "Tell your friends about me." Red Hood arrives. He's greeted by Zur as a projection of Bruce appears on a digital screen across Zur's face, explaining that he lost his way during his war with Selina and he doesn't want to hurt Jason unless Jason breaks the law. Bruce breaks out of his cell. He finds himself in the lower levels of Blackgate Prison, donning a makeshift mask from bandages. He finds Vandal Savage behind bars, and Bruce is attacked by robots and knocked out. Across Gotham City, Zur-En-Ah hijacks all digital screens and TVs and declares Gotham his. Zur-En-Ah takes out the Riddler, encounters Robin, Damian Wayne, and tries to convince him that he's really Batman. Meanwhile, the Bat family wonders if it is truly Batman or Zur-En-Ah. Back at Blackgate Prison, Daniel Capito, the new warden, greets Bruce Wayne as her issue ends. So, this is a direct continuation of Joker Year One. If you haven't read that story, go out and read it, or this won't make much sense, because we're in the middle of a run here with Chip Zdarsky. So it's continuing right from, I guess, three issues of Joker Year One. It's a continuation of the previous issue where Failsafe has imprisoned, you know, Joker, broke his back like Bane almost in that one panel. And we get Bruce Wayne here. What did you think of this opening scene here?
I think the art is fantastic, which is really helpful to an otherwise sometimes challenging story about where Zur fits in and all that, but it had a nice flow. It's funny, I liked the banter in some ways. In other ways, I'm trying to get my head around this notion that it seems like, based on, you know, the previous issues, that Joker and this one, that Joker has known his identity since not long after the Ace Chemicals accident, which I'm still processing how it sits well with me, to be honest, Bill.
I don't like that all these villains know his secret identity. I always liked it better when the Joker didn't care, you know, and he really doesn't care, or he'd be going and telling everybody about his secret identity. It's like a secret for himself. And that's how I have to think about this, that the Joker has this secret that he's Bruce Wayne to himself, or it doesn't make any sense to me, like how a villain would keep that secret all to himself. I tell you, it's difficult to wrap my head around. Okay, he has this separate personality, a backup personality that left his body and went into this Failsafe robot. It's kind of hard. And then added into that, you know, one of Bruce's mentors, one of the people that trained Bruce, you know, decided, hey, I'm going to come to Gotham. I'm going to create, you know, a real weapon with the Joker. Because if you read Joker Year One, Joker was like nothing. He was like a wimp till this Capito said, hey, I can train your mind so you won't have any fear. There will be no fear about anything. It's interesting.
I read all these issues like really, really recently, so it's still pretty fresh in my mind. The Joker Year One stuff is not that long ago anyway, but that scene by the river or whatever when Joker's looking at his reflection, and then all of a sudden this Capito guy just shows up seemingly out of nowhere and basically suddenly has identified the Joker as being somebody that he can, well, there's something special about him, I guess, that he must have recognized in Bruce Wayne as well, that there's a parallel there that he can, you know, mold or whatever. I don't think that Joker had shown enough yet to make this guy recognize this trait that the Joker had. I mean, it seemed like a big leap to me at
it almost at the time. Feels like the Joker just got created, and it wasn't long that he got created. So this guy had to have been following Bruce Wayne and figure it out. Okay, he's a vigilante now, and just following. He was so fascinated with the human brain. Yeah, I guess he gets off on how the brain works and that sort of thing. And then the Joker, I don't know, some aspects to the story seem to be a stretch, but you know, we're talking comic books, so
sure,
you gotta let some of that stuff go. But
no, that's true. But you know, even the whole creation of Zerthing, which I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too far unless you want to, the premise seems to be that this Capito mentor character helped Bruce wall off parts of his brain, create like a sub personality that could be tapped into in case Bruce Wayne isn't willing to go as far as he should based on the stated mission. Is that right?
See, that's where it gets a little, I'm not sure. Is it like, you know, if some villain threatens his family, he has this pure Batman that has no connections to anything and will do whatever he needs to do to, you know, get the job done, that sort of thing. I don't know. There's a fine line of exactly what the reason is behind that. Now, originally that happened in RIP with Grant Morrison, where Dr. Hurt was behind all this, and it sort of got revamped here, recooled how this is. And I guess we're going to get more story of really what happened, because the first encounter with this Daniel Capito happened in the Batman the Night, which was also written by Chip Zdarsky. And it was issue number 8. It was a 10-issue mini, and you know, you got to meet a younger Bruce Wayne as he goes through the different mentors and the people that trained him to be who he is today. So,
well, so on page 1 in the bottom right-hand panel, you know, Bruce says, you know, you've known about Zur this entire time. And he says, you've only shown him to me twice before. Was one of those in that Zdarsky, or was that referring to Morrison?
I don't know. I don't know what they're referring to.
Maybe they'll reveal it later. But what's interesting about this, and I'm not trying to be overly critical, is on the next page, he says, but he was beautiful, the real you. It's almost breaking you is easy, breaking him. It's like, this doesn't sit well with me, because this is kind of diminishing the constitution of the Batman character that we've known forever. Basically saying that, you know, hey, you've only shown him to me twice before. Every other time I see this weaker Batman, which is that a giant retcon that the Batman we know and love is not seen by the Joker as a true equal foe or something?
Well, it almost seems that Joker's primary goal here was to get this backup personality out full time, because this was a challenge. The challenge, well, as he said, to break Bruce, no big deal. But to break this Batman, this would be the ultimate challenge. Mm-hmm. And you see all these background, and we get a flashback, you know, in the backup story with the Joker having, you know, this Capito hostage after he trains him, that sort of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of working parts with this. I just don't know. My opinion about Joker, and he's overused. He's used a lot. And it's fine. This story isn't bad. I mean, use the Joker. I wish they would put him away for a little while. So when he came out, it would be more of a special occasion. Really, in the last 2 years, we've had two Joker miniseries. We've had the Joker show up I don't know how many times. So this little added wrinkle, I guess I just have a hard time getting my head around it because of, well, trying to fit the pieces together. I think that's the big thing, fitting all the pieces. How does this work? And they changed the way Joker is because he's changed over the years. So I guess that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually agree with you. A little less Joker makes Joker more, you know, exciting when he does appear. It's like, it's almost like he's out of Arkham so much. It's like, you guys need to get a better, like, containment system, because this is getting kind of ridiculous. I mean, but yeah, no, I see that. But you know, it's comics and he sells, I guess. And I agree. And if they want to do Joker stories, maybe do Elseworlds stuff, or maybe do like World's Finest type continuities that are outside of the main continuity to solve your concern. But here we have it. And the other thing that's interesting about this is which was new to me, and maybe I'm wrong in Batman lore and history, that Bruce, the way he talks to Bruce is so familiar. I'm not sure that sits well with me either. Like, he's almost like he's talking down to him. And I know Batman's been through some rough times in the last couple, you know, years in real life with the losing of his money and all this other stuff. But God, I mean, Bruce seems a little weak sauce right now to me.
Yeah, he does. And Joker is calling him Bruce outright. There was a time in the New 52, you know, where Joker, it was death of the family, and Joker knew the identity of everybody.
Yeah.
But then they had that fight and they both lost their memory for a little while.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
right.
So I don't know what happened but. This feels different, this relationship that they have here. And Bruce is like on his heels here because he's just had a personality that he was fighting for his personality to be the dominant personality in his own body. And then that personality leaves and goes to this undefeatable robot in Failsafe.
Yeah. You brought that up earlier, and it's funny you did, because as recently as did they explain in the Joker Year One or anywhere else that process? Was it like a computer that took digitized Xur, or did they explain how it?
Nah, I don't believe that there was an explanation. Comic book science, I guess.
Like, if I had a multiple personality disorder and I had, you know, sort of like,
they would probably use that to get rid of.
Take it and put it in C-3PO or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, there's my other personality. Well, that, you know, let's put that in the Cuz Comics category too, I guess. But yeah, and then Failsafe, his power level is off the charts. It's like a Mazo levels, which, okay, I guess if you're going to clean up the city.
You've asked me a couple times offline, you're like, why doesn't he just call Superman? Why does he just say, hey, Kal-El, help?
I know. I mean, if you use that standard, though, there's probably a lot of stories where, but still, and this seems like time to break glass.
You would think. I mean, we were at a point of the first arc, the Failsafe arc, that I was like, I don't know how he defeats this thing.
Right.
It's to that point. I don't know how this is going to be defeated, because now he is Batman. He's transformed into this Batman. But when he shows up for the first time here, you know, he looks like Batman, but he doesn't. He looks like, I don't even know how to describe him. How would you describe when he shows up here to Gotham?
When I first saw this splash page, I think that's when you're talking about, Batman is back, you know, kind of thing. Kind of looks a little Batman Beyond-ish combined with...
He has those fingers.
Yeah. Something like The Matrix or something.
Yeah.
He's not bad, but let's just go back to one thing you said before. So before the Zur personality gets into Failsafe, was you had just Failsafe. The Failsafe, you know, the old classic thing, you know, where Batman creates contingencies to fight the Justice League and all those stories like, you know, Tower of Babel and all that. And then that, and Batman's created one for himself, right? And so that's one thing where you got this amazing kind of powered robot. But now that it literally has Batman's personality inside of it, how could he defeat it? Because the Zur personality will be able to anticipate what the Bruce personality might do, and then to try to defeat him. And it's almost like a death spiral. Like you'll never. And so I guess in some ways, let's give it some props. We have a situation now where maybe we truly are wondering how Batman is going to defeat him, because we, in the back of our minds on almost everything, whether it's against Darkseid or against the Riddler, we know Batman's going to pull a rabbit out of the hat and figure this out. Maybe this is going to be fun in the sense that you and I both think, well, how's he going to be able to defeat this guy? Because it's him.
And the other thing that we're getting that isn't said in this book or anywhere, and spoilers, as we said up front, but there's a DC Comics crossover event coming this summer called Absolute Power, and this character is going to show up in that book. So, probably being used by Amanda Waller in some way.
Right.
So I don't know if this story is that's concurrent with that story, and then... I don't know. I don't see how he can be defeated as is, because Bruce has no weapons at his disposal or anything.
I keep using the term Mezo, but to refresh my memory, isn't this kind of like a Mezo technology? Did it state that ever?
I don't recall if it stated that.
But it sort of seems like it's just...
Yeah, it seems similar.
Yeah, but at any rate, yeah, which I've, you know, even in the Silver Age comics and stuff, I always kind of like roll my eyes at a Mezo and I'm like, oh, so he could just...
Zur in this body of Failsafe. You know, he's... The other thing he's doing is he runs into the Robins of Gotham. You know, two of them, the Red Hood, who he comes up to, and he has this, like, digital screen where his face is, and it shows Bruce's face, and he says, "It's me, it's Bruce." If he saw them with the stringy fingers, I would think, yeah, that's not Bruce. But here he looks like him in the face, both the robotic body. He said basically his body is worn out and he had to put himself into this, you know, robot sort of deal. And Jason Todd isn't really...
He's not buying it.
And real quick, once we mention Jason Todd, I want to mention, you know, the Gotham War thing that happened with Jason Todd where prevents him. He has too much fear that he can't fight crime anymore that Bruce did to him. Supposedly that is sort of reversed when he takes Joker toxin. And we saw that if you read the Joker or the Man Who Stopped Laughing, it happened in the last issue of that where he took a Joker toxin and it seems to counteract that sort of thing.
I guess the idea is that Bruce is tired of the way that Jason dispenses justice, which includes death, right?
Now, and that was the Zur personality.
Okay, yeah.
So that was the Zur personality. So basically it was this personality that did that to him. It wasn't actually Bruce. And I know that can get kind of confused.
Fair enough. Yeah, the Zur personality. But he's... So, hey, at least it was Zur, as opposed to Bruce, who messed with Jason so much that whenever he gets angry, he gets scared or whatever. But at any rate, you know, this scene's kind of cool. I'll go with it on how the image of Bruce's face appears in the glass and everything. But, you know, Bruce just quickly explains, like, yeah, but my body was all messed up, uploaded my consciousness. I'm gonna take care of business in town. So we, you know, no more Mr. Nice Guy. It only takes one panel for Jason to go, "Sounds good to me, Bruce," in quotes. It's like he doesn't buy it for a second.
No, he doesn't buy it.
And then they have a little melee, and then he just drops him on the ground, right? He kind of warns him, like, "Hey, I'll be watching.
I swear I won't hurt you anymore unless you break the law."
And he drops him from, I guess, probably only for a few feet or something. And then we're back to the prison. I'm not sure there's much more to be said about this banter, but
yeah, I like how, you know, he takes the Joker. He takes a little piece of metal or something out of Joker's back brace and breaks out of the jail. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. He takes a part out, and very classic Batman.
And he makes his homemade, you know, mask with some bandages, and he runs into, I don't know what's going on with Vandal Savage, to be honest. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, too, because, like, unless this happened in a previous arc or something, or a storyline I missed, you know, I never thought that Blackgate, I mean, I know Blackgate is rough. It looks like abandoned, practically. I mean, it looks like...
Yeah, this is like the basement, supposedly. So, I don't know. They got a couple people in here, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's interesting. Vandal, in previous issues, somehow obtained ownership of Wayne Manor and was all of a sudden trying to do his Vandal Savage domination thing in Gotham, right? And so we don't know. And then that's where that last story ended, right? He was going to parties, and he was with a bunch of these sort of evil, you know, shadowy leaders of Gotham. And he says, "I'm in charge now." And
then he wound up in jail, basically, this jail.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know how he got here.
Which, I don't want to go on a tangent or anything, but there was so much going on with the Gotham War and all that stuff, and that I was like, oh, they had just introduced this Vandal Savage angle.
Okay. Yeah, and yeah, I don't know where they're going. Because at one point, it sounded like that he may become the commissioner. You know, it was mentioned briefly about, do you want to be the commissioner? And it's like, what? But we do get the mayor here, which is important. He's talking to Renee Montoya. And Renee Montoya's relationship with Batman, as she's been the commissioner for this stint, hasn't been anything that great. They haven't had a... This isn't a Gordon-Batman relationship. She's barely depended on him for anything. And the mayor was introduced in... a few years back in Mariko Tamaki's run, and he was on the Gotham police force, and he was injured during... is not in love with Batman. Batman isn't his favorite person here, and he's like, it sounds like he's going to replace the commissioner. I hope it doesn't go in the direction of... Well, you wouldn't think it would go now, because Savage is in prison, and probably nobody knows he's down there, so...
Maybe Zur put him there.
It's a good possibility. And then we get the Riddler, which Zur goes on the interwebs, internet, or whatever you want to call it, and said this Gotham is his, and he's Batman, and he's taking out the Riddler and that sort of thing. And then you get the scene with Damian Wayne, which...
Yeah.
It was pretty cool, because he says, "Is that really you?" And he says, "It is." He said, "Prove it."
And he tells him story about how when he first came to live with him, that he used to, you know, read him stories or something, go to sleep or something.
This backup personality must have all the memories of...
He must. I don't want to harp, make a big deal out of this, but the Bat family, when they see this, these, you know, images of Zur or Bat Zur, whatever, talking to Gotham, and you know, you got Stephanie Brown and Cassandra Cain and the gang all looking at different monitors, laptops, Barbara, Dick, everybody. They're like, "Dick, you got to see this. Do you think that's Batman? I don't know." It's like, I know a lot's happened with Batman, but these are all really smart people. Would they be like, "Oh, I don't know"? I think they would. I think they'd kind of be more like Jason going, that's not Bruce. But let's go with it. Jason
again says, it sounded like Bruce.
I don't think they will. One thing that on this Is It Really You thing that I'm going to read into it, maybe make a prediction, Bill, is that, you know, Damien, you know, has this, you know, the Ra's al Ghul side of him, the Talia side of him has a desire, at least in, especially in the early Batman books that, you know, Morrison wrote. And then the one that was the Batman and Robin book from New 52, where he was always kind of pushing Bruce to be hardcore and Bruce would try to temper him. I'm wondering if this Damien is willing to believe or wants to believe that this Zur personality is legit, because it kind of serves that side of Damien for Batman to be more brutal.
Well, I think he's a little skeptical. I'm not 100% sure. Did you read the Robin series from like a year or two ago?
I did not.
Okay. We sort of get a hard-edged Damien that is sort of like tender at some points in that story. I really feel like he turned a corner in that story, but I'm not sure. I mean, we haven't really got a lot of Damien and Batman interacting. We're getting that in Batman and Robin, and that book's been pretty good. But that definitely is interesting, because it's this Al Ghul stuff is part of him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you remember when Damien came on the scene, he was beheaded the Spook when he first was with Batman. So it'll be interesting. It's interesting to continue on with this.
Yeah, well, and then I guess this kind of ends with the Daniel, I'm going to go with Captio, is now the warden of Blackgate. Like, so you have basically this, I call him a sociopathic psychologist or whatever you want to call him, mentor, who I guess we'll have to find out how that happened and when that happened. Because anyway, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and see what happens. You know, Batman knows everything though, right? Even poor Batman, even apartment Batman knows a lot. And you'd think, you know, based on how he has paranoid, or kindly put it, very cautious, he keeps track of everybody. And for this guy to become his own mentor, become the warden of Blackgate without him knowing, that Bruce Wayne or that Batman is somebody who's really slipped, in my opinion, because Batman would have known that.
Yeah. But, or it could have been while he was out. Remember when he came back from the other dimension where there wasn't a Batman, you know, it took him weeks to recover. And that's how Selena, I mean, there's a lot to this to say. I don't know. It's you have a good point there but I just don't know. And this Daniel Capito, you know, when we first see him, you know, in Joker Year One and in the Night book, he doesn't have all these scars. But when we see in the backup here, it looks like he's been tortured by the Joker somehow, because he's in this glass box that he's must have been in here for a long time, because he says it's been a while.
Yeah.
And like, it's finally happened. He says, I've seen him. Zur come out in him twice. He says this time he was more primal and that sort of thing. And says, and that's when he says, I train both of you, you know, right. Total control of your mind and that sort of thing. Partitioning of the mind. And Joker's just eating this up.
It's funny. I kind of liked the vibe of the backup a little more than the main. I don't know why. Had some cool, a different artist.
Yeah.
Different style, of course, but it was kind of creepy. I mean, like the whole thing about having him in this glass containment facility, which has got a dingy toilet in it.
Right. It looks like it's leaking and everything else. And he calls the container that the toilet is attached to, the tank, he calls it Betsy.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, it's so I noticed just like I didn't notice it in the cut face. I didn't notice it the first time in the main book storyline, mm-hmm. but I noticed it. So I saw this panel where it's clearly he's got scars that resemble, you know, like the Joker cut smile thing. So I looked back and I saw, oh, there it is. But like this intrigued me a little more because this guy is in this facility. He's clearly been tortured and he nonchalantly says to the Joker, it's been a while. Like how, has this guy been just sitting there for like 3 months?
Or even longer.
And he's like nonchalant about it.
Right. He has no emotion. Well, he can turn off. He's learned to teach others to do this. He's turned off his mind from all these emotions. And,
right.
And he doesn't really have any emotion at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did get the excited on the last page of the backup here when you see the Joker from, you know, the new 52 with Joe's garage, and it's when he cut off his face and he has his face attached to his face, and he's in front of Wayne Manor. So I guess we're going to get the next issue. We're going to get some details about, you know, what he's up to. And he knows Bruce Wayne is Batman at this point. And this is from a few years ago. It's not like it's from way back in the past.
Yeah. In fact, thank you. I did not pick up on that because his face, his back's to us. It's mm-hmm. been a long time since I read Death of the Family. Was that what it was called?
It was leading up to Death of the Family.
Oh, the whole thing about Joker's face being cut off.
Yeah, that happened in Detective Comics, but then
But the Joe's Garage thing. But he's clearly got that strap around his head, so he's probably wearing his face here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So are we going to get into sort of – that would be fun to see if there was – I mean, just we have to go with it. We're not entirely comfortable that he knows who Bruce is this whole time and yada, yada, yada. But, hey,
no,
we're going with it. And if they put some finer background to his activities before he starts messing with the Bat family and everything else and the whole Joker's daughter thing and everything else, I mean, that'd be kind of fun. We'll see how it goes.
Leave the Joker's daughter out of it. Not the original, the new Joker's daughter or whatever. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. The whole Bat, you know, the whole thing about Batman, his identity, the Joker knows it and stuff. You know, I'm more comfortable with the Joker knowing him than anyone else, because I think mm-hmm. the Joker can compartmentalize things because he's insane and he doesn't see a need to expose Batman. He doesn't need to ransom it. He doesn't need cash to keep it a secret, nothing like that. But everybody else, if anybody else knows that he's the Bruce, they would just tell a bunch of henchmen and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, so before we cut out of here, do you have any final thoughts about this one and what you're looking forward to the next?
Well, I love teams. I love ensembles. I love the Bat family. I like that this book, it seems to, you know, you're going to have a situation where, okay, fine, Bat family is doubting the Xur thing. You got the Damian angle, which may go in one direction versus Dick. Maybe Dick will go, no way, this isn't Bruce. You know, maybe Damian. Well, I'm hoping for some interesting dynamics with the Bat family and their role in this. You know, they're all, I mean, it's really kind of a big contrast. Nightwing right now is practically on top of the world. He's living with Barbara. He's leading the Teen Titans or the Titans, and Batman's life is in the dumpster. And so I wanted to see if they can bring some of this together and show some real arm around the shoulder kind of thing from Nightwing to Bruce. You know, maybe some sappy You've always been there for me. I'm here for you. Let's fix your life and let's defeat this damn robot.
Yeah, and well, it depends what book you're reading too.
Fair enough.
Batman and Robin, they're like working together, and there's no, this doesn't even go into. And in Detective Comics, they think he's dead, and yeah, that's just a whole nother.
Okay, let me, if you don't mind, and because you're more current on some of these books than I am, I'm going to play some catch up. But let's talk as an epilogue here about that style of continuity, whereby you've got independent books that are kind of running parallel to each other. And if you tried to make sense of when this is happening in Detective versus Batman and Robin versus anything else that Batman shows up in.
You almost have to say, okay, one of those stories happened before, one of those stories happened after, that sort of thing, to kind of fit it. And this happens all the time, especially in character books that have several titles.
Sure.
And there's not too many of those, but, you know, Superman, I'm sure that happens.
I prefer the way they're doing it. I mean, I'm okay with the thing where you got a writer for Detective, and he's got a 6-issue arc, and it's a story. It's in continuity, but it doesn't necessarily have to happen before or after Batman. And then later on, they can reference either story, and everything's cool. I like it actually. But the Superman stuff from the run up to the death of Superman, and some other times where they have the action Superman, Adventures of Superman, Man of Steel, and they're all numbered. I didn't like that because you had a push pull of independent writers trying to develop a storyline
and writing each part. It wasn't like there's one writer writing the whole thing.
I can deal with resolving the continuity stuff in my head when they're separate storylines. I don't like it when the editors make these writers kind of work together in a way where you can just see the conflict in the writing, where it's like they're being forced to carry on someone else's story. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like,
I can see that.
What are you looking forward to in this book? I didn't ask you.
Interest to see where this goes, how all these connecting pieces, you know, in the perfect, if they can land the jump, you know what I mean?
Land the plane.
Right. So we'll see. It'll be interesting, and it'll be a fun ride, and it'll be fun to talk about it. So,
yeah, man, totally. And I'm glad you thought of me to do these current issues.
No problem.
I've been wanting to get back into Batman for a while, and sometimes, you know, you just don't know how far to go back. And which
you were like asking me at one point, you're like, yeah, where should I start? And I'm like, well, at least you have to start with this run, because if you would have jumped in the middle of this run, you'd be like, okay, what's going on here? Who is that? There's a lot of things that happened in the last year here. So it's been a lot of fun, and
cool.
We'll be back here next episode, and we'll at least talk about Batman 146, and we'll see how far John gets caught up on some of the other books. We might do a little Batman and Robin. I said we'd wait on Detective at least till the latest run with Ram V ends, because there's like 20 some issues or so to get into that. So we'll see what we'll take it as it comes to see what books we actually do, but it's been fun. So till next time, same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later.
All right, take care.